It's Thursday, March 23rd. You're listening to the Tech Breakfast Podcast, the show that brings you delicious tech news and all the hot takes you can handle. It's episode 285. How we feeling?
So good.
Feeling good? Is that better? Is that a better opening?
I think you should talk about episode 23. You did last time. Wait,
what?
Not 23. 300.
What? What are you talking about?
Tyler is very distracted trying to make loadouts for his Call of Duty character, so... Everyone just ignore Tyler for the next 45 minutes or so.
No, it's not that.
It's not going to go well when you don't have Aaron and Daniel carrying you.
Are your legs tired?
I like the way we started it. We ride. Aaron. Okay.
All right, we're sticking with that? Okay, we're sticking with that.
We're sticking with it, and you leave sticking with it in there too. Come on, no one takes us that serious.
Let's go. We're trying to like smooth this over.
Okay. So for the first time in TBP chat history, we participate in the community so much now. We're often in the chat. If you want to join us, t.me/techbreakfast, come join us in the chat on Telegram. We'd love to see you there. We just share a bunch of fun links all the time and commentary on tech news. But for the first time,
dad just joined
Aaron
us
will
in there.
Ban you.
He just banned his wife.
I was trying to remove Daniel from the call. He's having some connectivity issues, and apparently just disconnecting him from the actual active call booted him and banned him from the community. So sorry for that, Daniel.
Wow. That seems really aggressive.
Sure.
So Daniel and I were talking about an hour ago, and he said, hey, man, let's just ask OpenAI, ChatGPT, to write the script for the podcast today. It was actually kind of interesting. And it was cool the way it jumped around and grabbed updates from a bunch of different segments within technology. So I just thought, for today in tech history, I'll just ask it, hey, what famous things happened in tech history today? And oftentimes it says, as a language model, I don't have access to real-time information, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it proceeded to just give me what I wanted. So we're going to go with some of that. And then I asked it for some more. So
which version are you using?
Not the plus version, the regular.
Right, because didn't. And actually, I would like to know the answer to this if anyone knows, but doesn't the plus version not have access to like the last 2 years of data or 3 years, like cuts off in 2020 or something?
The not plus version? Yeah, I believe so. But I think so. Even I'm not on the plus version. I'm on ChatGPT-4 still, I believe. Or maybe, no, I think I'm wrong. I think
maybe I was wrong.
Four.
Maybe is it plus or four that... One of them doesn't have access to the most recent data. Yeah, so
yeah,
I thought so too. And it specifically says that it... No, I think it's four that doesn't have access to the recent stuff. And I was curious if you knew why. Yeah, it's... I think it has something to do with manipulating... Well, misinformation is kind of the...
I think it's inaccurate.
You do?
Hmm.
So it feels pretty inaccurate. Well, they created... You know, they do these iterative models, right? Like they do. Actually, you know what? I'll ask GPT-4. Are you more up to date with world information than GPT-3? I'm asking GPT-4 that right now, and I'll read it as it comes through live. Yes, as a GPT-4 model, I am more up to date with the world information than GPT-3. My training data includes information up to September 2021. While GPT-3's training data only goes up until 2020.
What I was
saying.
So
they're both behind right now, but okay. Correct. I guess I didn't realize that about 3.
So, okay.
Yeah. There are other ways to sort of connect this model to the internet, though, and Microsoft just released one of them in their browser, which was pointed out to me, and it's pretty wild. So maybe we talk more about that at some point. But it's going to be connected to the brain of the interweb nets, and... it's going to be wild.
Okay. This is a little bit different format, so I'm going to see if I can verbalize it correctly and not ruin this by giving you the year first. Okay. The first recorded use of the word photography was used by Sir John Herschel, an English astronomer, in a lecture he gave to the Royal Society. What year? These are all things that ChatGPT gave me for stuff that happened on this day in history.
1642.
Oh, goodness.
Tyler's on track.
That's it. That's my guess.
What? What? 1642? Tyler's on track? What?
I'm going to say...
We didn't even use English in 1642. What are you talking about?
I'm going to say, still working on saying it, 1883.
Okay.
For photography?
More on track.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting warmer.
I may have just guessed a show title, but whatever.
Daniel, give me a number.
Yes, 1870.
Daniel wins. 1839, first recorded use of the word photography. Yeah.
1839. Really? Oh, the word photography. I've got to start listening to you when you ask these questions.
Oh, if you weren't so distracted, you would have heard the whole question.
Well, to be honest with you, I was trying to see if GPT-4 would give me the answer.
We're just going to call this the Distracted Podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
That actually is a podcast, if I'm not mistaken. So
oh, God, don't go down that rabbit hole.
Stealing of intellectual property.
All right, here we go. March 23rd, the first commercial flight of the supersonic Concorde aircraft took place from London to Bahrain. The Concorde was a joint project between British and French engineers and designers and is considered an engineering marvel of its time. What year was it?
1943. No, 80. Yeah, I'm going to go with
83. I can't believe that Russ didn't guess 80s. I'm just going to keep with the 70s and say 1970.
Nice. 1976. Ooh. You win.
Well, hold on.
Giving it to you. Oh, that's true. You were both 6 years away. Oh, no.
No. He was seven. Years seven. Away. Yeah. Daniel won.
Yeah.
That was that. I'm proud. Quick math.
All right. Last thing I'm going to ask you. This is not a today. This is what was the now retired Concorde supersonic airliner? What was the top speed? And you can give it to me in kilometers per hour, miles per hour.
I don't even know what Mach speed.
I don't know. 1500 miles per hour. Okay. I don't know what supersonic is. So
supersonic is like 700.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to guess 1200, but I don't
know. Or maybe a little bit more than that.
Yeah. So maybe 1000.
I feel like I should
be that,
but I'm sticking with 1200.
1354. I think Daniel is 3 for 3.
Wait, I guess 1200.
No, 1200. Tyler got that one.
You didn't you say 1500?
No. I said 1500.
No, I said 1000.
Oh, I thought Daniel said 1500. Well, then Russ wins that one. 1354 is closer to 1500 than 1200.
It is. I didn't hear it's 1500.
Well, while we're on this topic, I was on. Yep. I was watching our favorite movie, Top Gun, the other day.
That's right.
And on the opening scene, what does he hit? Like Mach 10.2 or something, right?
Yeah, it does.
What was it? Yep. Was it 10.2?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is 7,826 miles per hour.
It's fast.
Brain around that.
Yeah. Is that fast?
Yeah, no, it's real fast. Yeah. That's we call that. We call that beyond Ricky Bobby speed here in the South.
Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, it's real fast.
For our kilometer friends, that's 12,595.
That's not real.
Kilometers per hour. That's fairly fast. That's okay.
So, fun fact. So, you asked GPT-3 or 3.5 for this. I asked, tell me some technology history for this day. And GPT-4 said March 23rd does not have any significant technology milestones.
What?
It gave me milestones on the 21st and the 24th and the 25th, but gave me nothing else.
You must have a very narrow interpretation of what is technology to come up with that kind of answer.
Yeah, are they actual insane. Technology related?
Yeah, I'll put it in chat.
Tell you the ones that I got. You know, the one was about Twitter, one was about Apple, and one was about Sony. So for the like March 21st, 24th, and 25th.
Is that for this year though?
No, 2006, 2001, 1994.
I guess that'd be funny.
That's crazy.
The news for the 25th, but yeah,
it would be impressive.
No, you'll see in the chat. It did it perfectly for me. What famous things happened in tech history today?
I've gotten a lot of weird, inaccurate answers. Like, I'll ask a specific question, or I'll ask for, here's a recent one. This is very, you know, direct, right? So I asked it for a list of things, I think from the US Census data in 2020, right? And it gave me a list of five, even though I asked it for like 25. And the list looked weird, like that didn't add up. So I said, hey, okay, so just give me this one city in reference to that specific question. And instead of giving me the answer it gave me in the original list, it gave me a new answer. I said, why are those different? It gave me a bad response as to why it gave different answers between it, but said it can make mistakes. I was like, cool. Can you use the data that you used to give me the second answer, which they said they were using the same data source, to give me the top 25 of that thing again? And it came back and said, I can only give you five because the data only has the top 5,000. And I said, what? 25 is in 5,000. Give me 25 of the 5,000 you referenced. And then it gave me all 25. And I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah.
So weird. Pretty confusing, not gonna lie.
We'll make this the last thing maybe about this, so we don't spend the whole show talking to ChatGPT. But I actually took your prompt that you put in there. So I asked it differently. I asked, tell me some technology history for this day. You asked, what famous things happened in tech history today? Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, I still did not get an answer from GPT. I got
weird.
But this is what it says. As a language model, I don't have the ability to access real-time information. See where I'm going with this?
What? Yeah, now it's saying the ability instead of...
Only up until September 2021, so I am unable to provide you with specific events that occurred on today's date, March 23rd, 2023. So it thought I was literally asking about today whenever I put yours in. But with your, whenever you put your prompt in 3 or 3.5, it actually, you know, answered it appropriately. So it just took my question maybe way more literally about it being today. Yeah.
Today in tech history. It should have said, that's an absurd question. I don't have a time machine.
Yeah. And I just asked it to confirm, but the free version is still on GPT-3. I almost said
you can get access to the free 4. You have to go through a different part of the OpenAI's interface to access it. But I was playing with Plus the other day.
Well, you have to pay for Plus.
Well, 4 then. Whatever's not Plus, but is still 4. There was a way to
free,
get to it.
The it's free just, plan is 3, and ChatGPT Plus is 4. That's what I'm reading in the release notes.
Anyway, it's just so interesting dealing with it. I said, I actually mean on today's date in prior years, and now it's giving me all sorts of things.
That's cool.
On March 23rd. Nice. Yeah, so fascinating.
All right, what's going on in today's date? Not asking GPT. What are we looking at here?
TikTok, I want to bring up something.
The news. Okay.
TikTok didn't do anything interesting. TikTok isn't interesting. Counter-Strike 2.
Okay.
It has been announced.
Wait, we do need to talk about how they connected GPT to the internet, though. Okay. Sorry. Counter-Strike 2.
We can go back, but we're not going to yet.
Yeah.
I feel like because if you think of, so think of Aaron Bewley, he's on this show right now. One of the things that he struggles with is naming conventions.
And getting his truck stuck.
And getting his truck stuck. That one we have video evidence of versus audio evidence. It could be a skill. Certainly. There's benefit to people about it. So it's certainly something that is valuable to society. Because we enjoyed watching it. But Xbox Series X, One X, S, Y, X, Y, X.
I couldn't tell if you were serious or not, because I still think that's actually what it's called.
Well, that sort of proves my point, because I've been getting questions about this today.
Until you kept
because
going.
A lot of people know what Counter-Strike is. They also know...
Really, though?
Well, no, they don't. But I was gonna be nice, and then you didn't let me, because then I was gonna be lying. It's not that kind of day. Well, the thing is it's Counter-Strike 2, but there are so many other Counter-Strikes. Like, there's way more than just one
That's
out there prior to this one. Yeah, and I figured we'd go
Isn't there.
Isn't
there so like Counter-Strike Go Series X or something?
There is Go Series X S. YOLO swag 360 no scope.
I knew it.
Counter-Strike 2 has been teased, I'm not joking, for in a myriad of different 10 ways.
10 years.
So, well, Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Was it co-released with Half-Life 3?
No, but seriously, Counter-Strike Online 2 I'm seeing from 2013. Right?
Yeah, so that's 10 years. So, yeah, whenever you're... Game. Yeah, well, no, actually, I believe that was a China-specific release free-to-play title at the time. But Counter-Strike Global Offensive, which is the most current version of the game that's been played since 2012, 2013 as well. That one has been around and is running on the Source One engine, which was released in 2004, ironically, with the game Counter-Strike Source and Half-Life 2, to Tyler's fun little pun that they had there. Did Half-Life 3 release alongside this? It didn't, sadly. This is actually... Counter-Strike Global Offensive being upgraded to the Source 2 engine, and they're redoing all of the systems within the game, including some like very standard kind of client server internet networking based technologies that are changing for the first time. Because there's always kind of an issue online. You deal with this when you guys, you know, play Call of Duty. And one thing that happens in pretty much all games that is whenever you move, your client will update the server, and then the server will update your opponent's client, which means you'll get an advantage if you're the person who makes a move around a corner. If you didn't know that, keep that in mind when you play going forward.
Dude, are we talking about speed of light stuff again? Like 5 million miles an hour light year stuff?
Yes and no. It goes into more depth.
Can you respond fast enough like that? I mean, I get what you're saying, but does that matter? Like, is it that?
Oh, it matters. It matters. For instance... So
fortune favors the bold.
I didn't plan on going into this detail, but you have forced it. So to all
hold on. Let me give before you go into the detail, let me give a shout out to Benjamin Johnson, who threw a little party emoji on the Counter-Strike release timeline in the chat.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Fan. I mean, everyone should be a Counter-Strike fan. So one of the things that servers try and do in modern games is they try to predict what the client is going to see. So if I am playing Counter-Strike, Call of Duty, or whatever it is, I'll go and perform an action on my desktop or Xbox or whatever. It will then go to the server that then sort of disperses that action out to everyone else. Well, as I've done that, what it tries to do is take the latency as well as the action that you performed, and it tries to predict what the impact will be once it gets to the other client. Meaning at that point in time, what would have happened if you saw them at the exact same time? So it has this sort of predictive approach. And it even has some things to deal with players who are really, really far behind the server. You'll hear this referred to as lag compensation. So once again, predictive approaches to what's going on the server. And I don't think that that's going away. However, it does present this real notion of whenever someone comes around the corner, every now and then you'll get killed so fast that you feel like, oh my gosh, they knew I was there because they fired the moment that they came around that corner. The reality is they saw you about a half second before you saw them come around.
What? Dude, yeah. This is just like the Meltdown and Spectre vulnerabilities.
Yeah, you know
what I'm talking about? It's like where it would try to predict what you're looking for and it would offer up the options and then you could trick it and take things that you didn't have access to.
Yep. It's exactly the same type of scenario. The limiting factor here is it's not necessarily you're taking advantage of what's happening from this. You're exploiting the natural behavior of it as opposed to, you know, it being malicious. The interesting thing is most people don't even know this, but one way that this is sort of compensated is by, you know, you think of your frames per second whenever you're playing a game on your computer or your Xbox or whatever it is.
But it's the same purpose though too. They both did that to speed up the process.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And we use that all over computing, by the way, predictive analysis for what we're going to do next. But the interesting thing here is most people don't think about what I'll describe as the frame rate of a server, but they have them. Not in the same way that your 3D rendered client has, because the servers are not rendering in 3D. But they have what we call a tick rate. And this is basically how quickly it's a talk rate. I mean, at the end of the day, it's how quickly it updates information. I mean, it's called a tick rate, but I thought you were being funny.
I wanted a talk rate. I want a tick rate and I want a talk rate.
I can't help you with the talk rate because the tick rates are going away. And
how's domination going in Albagra Fortress, Tyler?
Well, he's probably losing badly, but I bet he's trying really hard to get a peeker's advantage on all of his kills right now.
I know. Now that I know, I'm tuning things in real time.
I mean, there you go. Keep testing them out.
And the answer is actually quite well, shockingly. I should do this more often.
He's like, man, being the aggressor has some value here. So with the tick rate, you know, what's oftentimes sort of a contentious point, like Valorant came out, I think we were doing the show when Valorant came out. And so we would have talked about kind of the first real true competitor to Counter-Strike back then. Well, Counter-Strike has always gotten a lot of flack for using what are called 64 tick servers, or servers that update basically 64 times a second, roughly. Mm-hmm. And most competitive servers run at 128. Now, the Call of Duty server that Tyler is literally currently on is probably updating at like 32. But it's less competitive of a game, but it also means
Jeremy
you have more
or
of
Trevor, whoever's responsible for networking not being available whenever I get that error. Should I call him?
You
I'm sorry, that's my favorite part about the warnings that I get from this game.
Yes.
Like every once in a while, you'll just get this obscure error and it has a name on it. Carl, you son of a
error code. Look, Trevor Myers.
Look for the one that's talking about the actual servers and not the network, because this is more of a server problem.
Do you know what we're talking about?
I do.
In the Warzone,
error message they throw up inside of Warzone.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. If you
just
get disconnected,
people's names on it.
They're there to make you feel better about the errors you're receiving, and it is working very clearly.
I think it's hilarious.
But then people find Trevor Meyer on Instagram or Twitter.
You ruined my something.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I had a kill streak going.
A reference that I feel like I should have been able to make there, but I don't really.
Really, all they did was they found people that said bad things about their company or product on the internet, and they just put the name next to error rates, which is perfect, by the way.
Daniel dropped it in the chat. Travis. Reason?
There it is. It's Travis.
Travis.
Connection failed. Reason? Travis. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
So, anyways, most competitive servers have been running at 128 tick rate for a while now. I mean, even like right now, there's a Counter-Strike tournament on, and I guarantee you they're playing 128 tick rate. They're playing it on LAN. So it really minimizes the impact of, you know, this phenomena that we're talking about. But what they're doing here, and I don't know if this is better or not, but they're basically, they're adapting the tick rate to include what they call sub-ticks, where basically the tick rate of the server isn't really important, because the tick rate is basically an interval where it updates a certain amount of data. Tyler, you need to get your head in the game here. All right.
It is in the game.
Can we call it a talk?
He just posted that he got first place on the winning team.
I refuse to acknowledge your current comment. Not pulling
it on focus. Focus. So, let's let the man talk.
What they're doing here is they're enabling the ability to basically do constant real-time updates between client and server. And that's something that you probably thought was going on, but it wasn't. It was happening in these intervals. So it's, you know, if you're getting whatever it is, 64 updates a second versus 128 updates a second, you have these intervals between each of those 64 or 128 updates where it is not giving you an update, right? Well, yeah. They're doing something where it gets to be more continuous. I don't know what this is going to mean, or I haven't been able to try this yet or test and see how the game feels. But a lot of people immediately are like, it's so much more crisp. It's overreaction season in Counter-Strike land.
Crisp.
But nonetheless, that's a really fascinating take on a very, very long-term problem. And it may solve another issue. And this is another one you probably don't know about. But the frame rate that you run your game at has an effect on two things inside of the games. One of them is crucially important. But in particular, it affects the physics, which most engines can kind of handle to make everyone on the same plane these days locally on the client. But the other one is if you're not running at 128, say, frames per second or more on a 128 tick server, you will not send information at the same rate with which the server can send information. You'll get desync errors. You'll run into more issues. So all those people who talk about, oh, you don't need more than 60 FPS. It's
like
strobe effect,
lining up or, okay. Well, I mean, that's something we should definitely look into. I just want to not glitch through the floor when I get run over by a train. That's all.
Well, you may want to call Travis, because that's more of a Travis issue there than it is going to be a tick rate or internet related issue. It's a very cool thing that they're putting forward here, and I'm excited to see kind of what comes from it. But they're redoing all of these systems in this manner. It's not just a graphical facelift. They're really trying to improve a lot of the kind of long-term nuanced issues the game has had, or at least, you know, inefficiencies compared to other titles. And that's exciting.
Very exciting.
Daniel has some breaking news.
Breaking.
Well, I don't know if it's that breaking, but breaking. I know at least a few of us in this channel are familiar with Linus Tech Tips. He's been around for a very long time, but his YouTube channel is currently hacked and asking for crypto. And has now been taken down. So, if you're a fan of his, don't donate your crypto. Because
don't do that.
It's a scam, believe it or not.
Right. Shocking. And if you ever
someone as popular as Linus Tech Tips or a channel that popular would be asking for direct donations via crypto suddenly, like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I love that guy.
Like 15.3 million subscribers. Click. Yeah. And don't ever fall for, even if it's somebody not that famous, if somebody says, hey, send us a little bit of Bitcoin and we'll send you twice as much back, or, you know, you think it's Elon Musk setting up a link for you to do that. Not real.
Elon does care about you though. So don't believe for a second he doesn't.
That's out for debate.
So interesting. So this YouTube link that I have in here, are you saying don't click that YouTube link, Bewley? Because I'm looking, it looks like you're in on this thing.
No, that's fine. You can click that's a YouTube link just to his channel, and you get the monkey with the spyglass saying.
It says this page isn't available. Sorry about that. Try searching for something else. So they've completely taken it down now at this point.
That is fascinating to me. Although, you know, and I'm not one here to presume that Linus does or doesn't have the right thing set up. But for all those wondering about like what you can do to prevent something like this, For YouTube, which is obviously owned by Google, you can put something in there called, you can enroll in Google's Advanced Protection Program. Now, I will tell you that the GAP is, you know, the short form of it. What it's called, or what it is very tedious, but it basically forces you to do a physical authentication of your account if you're going to log in. So meaning like with a YubiKey or something similar, it takes all other measures of logging in away. And you can't, in like even things like, what's it called? You know, Google or Android, you know, how you can do side loading and all that stuff on Android. If you have a GAP protected account, you cannot sideload apps anymore. So like you can't physically turn that on at any point in time. So, you know, something to maybe consider for anyone as high profile as Linus is, if they're not using it to try to avoid certain things like this, if that's really what it was, like an account hack. But in fact,
it's all his accounts within YouTube, all the different brands. Yeah. A few hours ago, he tweeted out, he just said, yes, I know, with a grimacing face. But
that's
a
very Linus response.
the main Linus Tech Tips channel was breached earlier this morning with several live videos broadcast before the live videos, I guess, presumably of the hacker, not before the hacker started making old private videos public. They took other Linus Media Group YouTube channels, including Tech Cookie and Tech Linked. They've been rebranded to Tesla accounts, also trying to do the same thing. So again, mention Elon and you'll get
it
people
was
on.
Elon.
It's ridiculous, man, how people just
Elon the
anyway.
Whole time.
I hate it.
Right. Yeah, I hate it too, man. Okay. So Daniel threw up something else right before we got started. OpenAI rolls out ChatGPT plugins, including two of its own, a web browser, and a code interpreter, and open sources the code for a knowledge-based retrieval plugin. Is this what you were talking about when you said that it was quote-unquote connected to the internet? Let's see.
It is not, actually. I actually got a
Can browse the internet.
Yeah.
Say that again.
And I think the article that Daniel shared connects ChatGPT to the internet to browse the internet. And I think this is something interesting that people don't think. Like, I think a lot of people think when they ask, and I just skipped over a bunch of questions I asked, but this made me think about, I think there's a lot of people that when they put a prompt into ChatGPT, they think that it is going out and crawling the internet Googling and it. Then coming back and answering. Yes, exactly, Tyler.
I found this for you.
Yeah, I found this for you. Here you go. No, it is not. Yep. It's not. It was trained on a set.
About a lot more.
Yes. Yeah. It was trained on a set of parameters, and then it answers based on what it already knew. Sorry, go ahead.
So, one of the interesting things with this article is that it's, it just says, the very top line is that it can now browse the internet. So it can go out and look for certain information. And then it says - in certain cases. So it sounds like they're trying to rail this, put the whole search on
can
rails
you Google
for
this me?
Case, but good luck. Yeah. good luck trying to keep it all contained, in my opinion.
So they're calling it WebGPT. Is that right? There's some other stuff in here, but yeah, this is like ChatGPT is fairly new in the broad, kind of scope of things. And we're already moving through things pretty quick here, but
yeah. So the other one, let me talk more about what it was that I was bringing up earlier. So I've already mentioned that I use Neva from a search engine perspective, and they have an AI model that goes out and what it does is it does pull from links that they find, and then it sort of generates an answer, and then it references those links as well as kind of a point in time of what they use. It's been incredibly cool to use. What happened here is how I found out about at least this, maybe this plugin. So Matt Schneider, who at least two of, Aaron and Tyler, one of my staff, he actually reached out and he just said it's connected to the internet. And I was like, well, what are we talking about here?
It is it.
And yeah, it is. And then he starts sending me a screenshot and just various things that he's able to do. And what it is for what he was referring to was Edge. So natively inside of Microsoft Edge, if you click the Discover Bing thing in the top right, it shows up with a search there, like a Bing search. And it's clearly doing a similar thing that Neva is, but it can also do a few more things. In his particular example, he uploaded like a 3-slide PowerPoint just to see what would happen. And one thing that he does, oftentimes if he cites something inside of a PowerPoint, he provides links as well as, QR codes.
QR codes.
Yeah, QR codes in order for people to be able to go to those links if they want to. Well,
QR codes are great because you can just sorry, go ahead. Sorry. Awesome. Versus like a link that's in a power, like if it's a complex link, QR
codes. Yeah, I mean, what do you do? What do you do if it's a complex link, right? So what's interesting is he used this to see if it would spot check him. So it actually provided a summary of his PowerPoint, and then it fact checked the links that he said.
What? Wait.
Yeah.
Through the Bing one?
Yeah, through him uploading it through there. And so that was kind of the crazy moment that he hasn't shown me exactly how he did this. He said he did it through the browzer. He's a wizard with Microsoft technology just in general. So that was a pretty crazy thing. We can bring him on to talk about it at some point if we need
to. Yeah. That's what I'm going to say. Can I ask you to try to bring him on?
Confirm or deny, but was he in DFW airport yesterday? No, Monday? Monday or yesterday?
Yes. Yes, he was.
I am pretty sure I saw him from too far to not awkwardly scream his name because he was walking away from where I was going, but I saw him in the airport.
He was going to Detroit, but he's already back. Actually, I think he had like four
Sorry,
flights this week,
you,
standard for him. But I just messaged him. I said, need you on the pod. And I bet he answers soon and says, okay. So we'll definitely make that happen.
All right. Breaking news from the Elon Musk. He just tweeted to get Blue verified for only $7 a month. Sign up via web browser at twitter.com instead
of send your crypto here.
The
the
link.
He missed a chance. He really missed a chance. I'm super disappointed.
Oh, never mind. Forget this. He's tricking you. So I thought it had something to do with like not paying the app store. You know what I mean? Like, so if you did it inside the app, you would pay $8 and then 30% of it goes to Apple. And he's saying do it $7, but do it online around the app store, whatever. No, it's I clicked it. It's just he's showing the billed annually. Gosh, if I could speak. $7 a month, well, if it's billed annually versus monthly. Sorry.
Well,
never mind. It's a big nothing burger.
No, well, I have it on both devices in front of me. So I have it on my browser and I have it on my phone. So on the browser, annually, it's $84 per year billed annually, which comes out to $7 a month. Or if you do it monthly, it's $8 a month, which comes out to $96 a year. If I do it on my phone, annually is $115 a year. And it's $11 a month if I do it monthly. So it is, you know what?
So it is kind of what I was talking about.
Monthly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then they just raised the price of doing it in the app store on the device. Because it was initially just $8 if you did it in the app.
Yeah.
I guess they raised the price there to cover the fees that Apple takes. Okay. That's where it is. Nice. Thank you for that investigative reporting.
That's what I'm here for.
That's excellent. I think the nothing burger would be Twitter Blue.
There it is. Hot take.
No, look, Tyler is listening. Someone said something about money, and Tyler was like, let me tell you how I feel.
Okay.
Oh, I can't sign into Twitter, so I can't tell you what it looks like for me.
Tell me, wait, why can't you sign into Twitter?
It's not important. Just keep going.
Currently running scams. The FTC wants to ban those tough to cancel gym memberships and cable subscriptions. The proposed
click
to cancel rule would require companies to let you cancel a membership in as many steps as it takes to sign up. And I love it.
What a great
love that.
Structure
everyone,
of a rule.
Except for the people that are trying to do it to you.
But the structure, you just hit the nail on the head there. And you have to be able to cancel in as many steps as it takes to sign up. I love it. So do you think that we'll get longer steps to sign up or shorter steps to cancel?
No, we will not. I don't think so.
Yeah, there's zero chance of it being harder to sign up. I agree with that.
So I remember signing up for a gym when I was in school out in Idaho. And
you're still...
Still paying for it. Getting ready to move out of town, and I said I'd like to cancel my gym membership, and they said, "Okay, great, you have to send a
write us a letter." Yep.
Corporate. And I was like, "What?" I was like, "You can't just click some buttons and close it for me." And nope,
we're not going to though.
No, so you are still paying for it then, right? Like you didn't write that letter. Surely.
I wouldn't.
Probably.
I'm not writing that letter.
Not worth the time.
Stuff I don't want.
So anyway, you go FTC. I'm a fan.
But this is the United States. Like someone in our political spectrum has to be saying this is bad for some reason. They have to.
Well, no. You have to understand. You got to go the opposite direction here, Tyler. The reason why it's even coming up is because we're on the eve of election season, like big time election season. So it's time to make big, bold moves.
Who's saying it should be incredibly difficult to get out of contracts like gym memberships that are month to month? Somebody has to be saying,
I don't think anyone.
Sure, hopefully they said it more clever than that.
Yeah, exactly. The argument there isn't it needs to be difficult to get out of gym memberships. The argument needs to be the freedom for the business to be able to do whatever it wants to do. Okay. Yes, and if it doesn't offer the ability to cancel, be as evil as they want. And if it doesn't offer the ability to cancel as few steps as it is to sign up, then that's the way that business is going to run. And who are you to overstep the boundaries to tell them how they're going to interact with their customers?
That's exactly what someone's going to say, but I'd prefer the FTC focus on this than regulate like the buying of some random startup that no one's ever heard of by Google. You know, like that. Those are the things
Google's
that I think
straight up said that Google was a monopoly.
They can be a monopoly all they want. I'm just saying, like, stop them from acquiring Apple. Don't stop them from acquiring, you know,
I would love
or whatever, some other company.
I would love to know if anybody listens to this and they know anybody who knows anything about the inner workings of the FTC, would love to have a conversation with them about that.
Lena Khan.
Recently.
The show.
You know somebody?
Well, she is the FTC, I think.
Okay. Oh, you said the person who's running the FTC? Okay.
I think I got it right.
I recently learned of some more things within the FTC. Whenever a company is getting acquired, or at least the example that I heard of the most recently, the company that is selling themselves to a larger company pays for they're the ones responsible for the FTC and paying the FTC. I don't know if you knew this, but the FTC gets paid for the process, which I think is, I don't know what I think about that. I think it makes sense because you don't want it to be taxpayer funded.
Bureaucracy always has some costs. Exactly. Because they're taxpayer funded positions, and you could easily bog down normal public services by making requests that are totally legal and normal. But if the government has to bear all of that cost and due diligence, then it can be abused, then it would be abused. So.
I would love to learn too, if it's a required process, if the sale is above a certain dollar amount, or if the valuation of the company being bought is over a certain dollar amount, or if it's done preemptively by companies at a certain level that it's, you know, suggested by the broker to say, hey, this gives you extra clearance to make sure it can't get unwound by the FTC, stuff like that. There's a lot of questions I got. I don't know that we'll ever get that, but I'm super curious how that works.
I was able to log into Twitter Blue.
Well, there you go. Okay.
I have no thoughts on the FTC. Report.
Okay. Nope. All right. What else is in the news here?
Can I get your hot take on what you think about U2?
Like the band?
That's topical.
Okay. So the reason I laughed is because. Jeez. Oh man. So I looked at Twitter this morning, which was a mistake. But basically, like, so I was whatever. I was on my way to go whatever. It doesn't matter. All that stuff. But I hope I'm trying to think of how to tell this story.
He's distracted.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to leave out the unimportant. No, I'm not the one who's playing. Let me check. Sir Demos is at the main menu. Never mind. Go ahead. You can explain it.
Explain the story. there, Tyler and I just having a good old time on Call of Duty this morning.
Perfect.
And all of a sudden, perfectly fine morning. And all of a sudden, Aaron joins and goes, "What the hell do you guys think of U2?"
No, I said, "What's your opinion on U2?" No, I just said, "What's your opinion?"
Guns ablazing.
Like, yeah. You haters gonna poo poo on my U2 too? Yeah.
He was real defensive about it, and Tyler and I were very confused.
Yeah, we got.
That's not the story.
hold on. Hold on. Third party here. If that's the story, Aaron, what were you trying to tell us? Because it was not going that.
He was making it up. That's why he just kept he and Han. I don't know. Jeez, leaving out the important bits. Who was wrong?
All right.
Man.
All right. Well, okay. I'll prove you wrong. I'll pull up the tweets. So I'm not trying to call anybody out here. I follow a guy on Twitter and his initials are CR. I'm not going to tell you his name. He said, "Should have continued to be rejected for all eternity and then some." This is the first tweet I read of the day. And I'm like, what is he talking about? And he's quote tweeting somebody else who's saying, "Everyone has to start somewhere. Here's U2's rejection letter." So apparently they got rejected on May 10th, 1979. I was like, huh, okay, well, that's a real interesting take that you care that much about, like, hating on U2 that this is your tweet for the day or whatever. And then I scroll down and everyone's like, or this other guy says, "I agree, but most likely not for the same reasons." And I'm like, what? Is there like a plethora of reasons to hate U2? What? And then I keep scrolling and another guy says, "Most overrated band ever." And I'm like, all right, I'm done with Twitter. I just closed it and I thought about deleting the app. Because of the added, like, what? Why are you hating? And let me sidestep this. I never listened to U2. I'm not a fanboy. Like, I don't, what do YouTubers call themselves?
Every time I got in your car in high school, U2 was blaring. Man, I wish I could any one of their songs to make that sound more legit, but I can't.
I will say I've been to one of their concerts. Very cool. Very entertaining. But I don't understand why this is the tweets that you come out swinging with, and they're not that bad.
A little early for that.
So then we got into an argument about how popular you had to be in order to be the most overrated band in the history of the world. Because at some point, right? If you're not popular enough, you can't be the most overrated. So you have to be somewhat popular and not be good anyway. And it just evolved.
I was just saying, as far as the language accuracy goes, it's possible that they're the most overrated band. I couldn't tell you how to judge that, by the way. I had no idea. I had no point of reference either.
But it is feasible
that was an accurate statement.
And that's where my brain started to hurt, because I was like, why are these guys having such attitude and being so negative? And then Tyler's like, well, technically, based on the verbiage used and the proper grammar here, it's actually quite possible. And I was like, wait a second, I think you're right.
It might not have been hateful.
That's right.
It might have just been stating an objective fact, or they want it to be an objective fact. And right now they're just taking a subjective viewpoint because they're hateful towards the band, you too. We don't know.
That's the story, Russ.
Okay. I am, and in a way to maybe tie this back to the beginning and then allow Tyler to wrap us up. According to GPT-4, there isn't a specific level of popularity needed to be considered the most overrated band in the world. Overrated is an objective term that depends on individual opinions and taste. However, a band could even potentially be called the most overrated band in the world at any level of popularity. It is just much more likely to happen when a band has a large global following. Yeah. So with that,
you know how I know the ChatGPT isn't that cool yet and that it isn't actively listening to our podcast? Because if it was cool and it was listening to our podcast, it would have qualified the end of that with it's you too. It would have done that.
It would have told.
But it's probably you too.
It did not. Yeah, it definitely did not. It didn't say that.
Well, so get better.
Is the argument there? Even if only like five people knew about whatever band this was, and they both were like devoted their entire lives to it, and they were so bad that because just these five people's love for it was so great, and the band was so bad that it could potentially be the most overrated band of all time, versus billions of people knowing you two and slightly preferring it, but it being slightly bad if it was.
I think I'm going to end this show with disagreeing with the artificial intelligence. And I'm going to say that while being overrated may be subjective, you can't have a band three people knows about actually be the most overrated band. That's just not possible.
In order to end this podcast and satisfy Tyler, I have decided to ask GPT-4 what bands are more overrated than you two. And we do have an answer.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
I'm so happy right now.
Reverse order. Yes. So at number six, that means U2 is seven, by the way. So at number six, the Chainsmokers.
What?
Number five, I agree. Number five.
Clearly.
Imagine Dragons.
Agree.
Zing.
Number four, Maroon 5.
Oh, fair.
I think this number three, I would have probably put it number one, but number three is Creed.
Please let me guess number one.
Okay. Number two, Coldplay. And for number one, and to wrap up this ridiculous return,
I'm
going to
tell you
who
it is first.
Air.
Let me guess.
Quick, cut it before he says anything.
I'm going to guess it's Rick Astley.
No,
Nickelback.
Do better.
Come on, it's funny. Yeah,
Nickelback.
I was gonna say leave this as a cliffhanger, so you have to tune in for the next episode.
Well, tune in anyways. All right, Tyler, get it down here.
Well, man, that was a great way to end it. Way to go, Russ. That makes me super happy. And that brings another Tech Breakfast podcast to a close. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We had a grand old time. Thank you for joining us, Daniel. That was a pleasure. And we'll see you all next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Adios.